James tonight, chapter number 4. James, chapter number 4. Find the book of Hebrews, go one book past the book of Hebrews into the book of James, chapter number 4. We're going to start with verse number 4. Verse number 4, James chapter 4, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do ye think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusts to envy? But he giveth us more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resists the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted, and mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning, and your joy into heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judges his brother speaketh evil of the law and judges the law. But if thou judge the law, art thou a doer of the law, but a judge? I want to talk to you tonight on how to apply the spiritual gifts or the spiritual weapons that God has given to you and I. How to apply the spiritual weapons that God has given to you and I to have a victorious Christian life. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for what you've given to us tonight. Now, Holy Spirit, I ask that you'd help us to go at an even rate of so that we understand and are able to apply now what we have been learning for a long period of time on the flags of warnings you've given to us and the weaponry that you've given to us. And now I ask that you help us to know how to use it. Because, Father, this is where we become the weakest. And often we're defeated. So give us understanding, clarity of thought, clarity of mind, and clearness of speech as we preach and speak tonight. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now it's time for us to understand or apply everything we've been learning when it comes to how to have a victorious Christian life. So how do we use our spiritual weapons in the battle that we find ourselves in? We're all in a battle. From the very moment that you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, we immediately receive three enemies: the world, the flesh, and the devil. Our enemy is never people. Remember what it says in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 12. For it says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." It's interesting to me, sometimes we run through this verse so quickly, we don't realize in the middle it says, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. That's not people. That's Satan and his little kingdom, trying to root down a kingdom of his own. Against spiritual wickedness. Notice it says spiritual wickedness, not human wickedness, in high places. So, years ago, I had gone to Columbus, Ohio. When we pastored in Greenville, Ohio, and started to work with the Senate and the Congress of the state of Ohio. And I did not know, and I never had the foggiest idea, how much pressure from the world and the devil that is placed on those who rule over us. I didn't know that. I was shocked to find out how much lust is used to try to sway these men and women, how much of the flesh is used and how much they try to pour liquor down their throat and throw money at them and put all sorts of pressures around them to corrupt them to get the vote that somebody else wants them to vote rather than for them to vote what they believe. It's easy for us as a person to run for an office. But when that happens, it's amazing how this verse comes to light, especially at the end, against spiritual wickedness in high places. The devil definitely wants to rule over us. If you look at the history of the world, not of America, but of the world, every time men start to rule over men, spiritual wickedness takes over. God is kicked out of his place of authority. And Satanism and false religions and fake, fleshly, lustful, wicked, vile sins take place worldwide and given a place of acceptance and normalcy. And sin is never normal. It is for the world, but not as a world as a whole. God did not make this earth and this world and the people of this world to be consumed by evil. He wanted us to have victory. So God's taught us, you and me, for us who are saved, that we can have a victorious Christian life. And he tells us that we have those by using the weapons he's given us. So now we've learned the red flags that help us to identify our areas of attack. It helps us to identify those who are attacking us, whether it's the world, the flesh, or the devil. God has given us a very powerful weapon then to defend us from our enemies. But there comes this question, how do we use our weapons against the devil's attack? How do we use these weapons against our flesh's attack? And how do we use these weapons against the attack of the world? Well, let me say as I begin to teach on this, on how to use the weapons, it's not a part of our nature or the way we've lived prior to salvation for us to do this. This is a very unnatural way to be. Because it's a spiritual way. It's God's way. And growing up, I took 21 years before I got saved of the world and the flesh and the devil having their own way in my life and parading me down the broad way of life in its nature and its way. For example, at the age of 21, what you're supposed to do is go out and get smashed. Because you can now legally drink. So you go out and you party and you make a jerk and fool out of yourself and before you know it, you don't even remember your 21st birthday because you vomited the whole time hugging onto your toilet because that was the only thing in the bathroom that wasn't spinning around. Using it to cool your brow because you were so sick. And then everybody goes, wasn't that a wonderful time? And you go, oh yeah. I've heard of a man recently was telling me that he celebrated his 40th birthday. And a bunch of his friends took him out to a bar in town here. And oh, they got so excited he passed out in the seat at the bar. He says, I had no idea what happened. All I know is I went back a couple days later to this friend's bar and I apologized for passing out in their bar. And I said, so did you have a good time? He says, yeah, as far as I know, everybody tells me I did. You don't remember. Because that's not the way, that's the way of the world. That's the way of the flesh. That's the way of the devil. When you see the results of it over a period of time and you see how it destroys, it's not really the best way to live. It's not even a good way to live. It's not even a prosperous way to live. It's certainly a good way to take that which you've worked so hard on to obtain and throw it all away. So the devil, the world, and the devil, the flesh in the world, is what ruled over us. Even those of us who are saved still live in this world with the devil and with the flesh. Not only our flesh, but the flesh of others. So what we're learning is nothing like the world has taught us. It's nothing like the flesh has brought to us. It's nothing like the devil has for us. For those of us who are in Christ, it takes a concentrated effort to apply this first to our life, to learn it. I believe it takes a great amount of time for us to properly practice our actions until they become a second nature to us. See, our responses now are second nature because that's all we've done is live in the world. So our responses immediately become worldly. But this is the opposite of that. This is supposed to be spiritual responses to worldly attacks. And I'll give you my opinion now, just for a few moments. I don't believe that many Christians understand what we're talking about or practice in any kind of consistency what we've been learning. If more of us did, I believe we'd have a great and an amazing impact on this world, because as you and I would live such a great, joyful, successful life, the world which yearns for that would then be attracted to that. And they would love the joy and the peace and the prosperity that we have, and they'd want a part of it as well. Since it's not, that is all my opinion I just gave you. I, in my own life, have not even begun to master the things we've talked about. I work on it, and I believe it'll take a long time to master it. But that doesn't change the truth that we've learned from the Word of God. It doesn't change it just because I haven't mastered it. It doesn't change it because you haven't mastered it. It doesn't change it because most of the Christian world hasn't mastered it. It's still true. And something we ought to strive for, work on, so that one day it becomes second nature. I was listening to the baseball game last night. And they made this comment about our second baseman. His name is... say it again.
Jason Kipnis.
Jason Kipnis. And they said, Jason's learning how to play second base now. And I thought, come on. He's a Major League Baseball player. He's been playing in the Major Leagues. This is his second season. Alright. Now, before that, he was in the minor leagues. Now, you don't get to the Major Leagues without first being in the minor leagues. But you don't get to the minor leagues unless you played baseball somewhere else. So, more than likely, when he was about 8 or 9 or 10 years old, he started playing baseball pretty often. And he started to learn how to catch a ball well, and he started to learn how to throw a ball well, and he started to learn how to react to the ball, and he started to learn how to hit the ball, and he started to learn how to run the bases. And over time he got better and better, and you gotta think those who are in the major leagues are the best of the best of every section. So here he goes, he was probably the best little league player in his group. And then in high school he probably played baseball, was probably one of the best players in his high school team. And maybe in all the divisions that he played in high school, to be selected in a draft by a Major League Baseball team. And then he went to the AAA, and then he went to the AA, and then he went to the single, I think I got it right. Now he went to the single A, then he went to the AA, then he went to the AAA before he went to the Major Leagues. And he sat on the sidelines for a little while once he got to the Major Leagues, then he played a little bit, then he played more, and now he plays all the time. And what do you mean he's just learning how to play it? And here's what they said then. To where his actions become an immediate, non-thinking reaction, and he just does it with no thought. And I thought, that's exactly what we're talking about in our Christian life. Now, I don't know. I've been working on trying to do this for a long period of time, but it's still not that immediate reaction without any thought. It just doesn't happen. You watch Struble Cabrera out there, and he has some marvelous plays. It just is a reaction to him. He's been playing in the majors a lot longer. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're in the major leagues here when it comes to battling the world, the flesh, and the devil. And the devil's trying to put us into a losing season, into a losing year. And he tries to defeat us on a regular basis. And so we've put aside that which we know are the fundamental rights that we're supposed to do. And what we're looking at are the fundamental actions and fundamental strengths and the fundamental things that happen in our life to get us to the place where we can do the right thing and have the joy that God wants us to. So that's what God wants for you and I. He wants us to have joy, and He wants us to do it as if it's second nature to us. It's an automatic thing. Something we don't have to think about. Okay, now I need to do this. Now I need to do that. And the next, I got to put that out of my mind, and I got to respond this way. So God wants us to know how to use our spiritual weapons. He wants us to know when to use our spiritual weapons. And He wants us to know how much of our spiritual weapons to use at the time we need them. So let's take a look then at James chapter 4. Because James chapter 4 is the beginning of understanding how to do all that. James chapter 4 verse 4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Now if we look at those verses, it's not just talking about one particular sin, okay? What God's referring to is our behavior towards Him. Now, we're the bride of Christ. The Israel is the wife of God.
scripturally speaking, spiritually speaking. And so when we go to the world, the flesh and the devil, we're betraying our beloved. Okay? That's all that's referring to. So that could be lying, that could be cheating, that could be anything. That's just saying that the betrayal that we're going through, we're betraying that which we know is right. We're betraying that which we know who is right. We're betraying that which who has the answer. We're betraying that which we know has given us the eternal victory already over the world, the flesh, the devil, and all the things added into that. We already know the victory's ours. We've read the end of the book. We know we win. We get to spend eternity with Him. We know that already. And because we know that, when we go against that, we're literally betraying, turning our back, forsaking, or if you will, committing adultery, and for ladies, adulteresses, of our God, of our Savior, of our King, of our spiritual husband. God says that's not what He wants us to do. So, whosoever, where is it that causes this? What is it that He says causes this response on God to call us this? Here you go. You ready? Here's the answer. Whosoever, therefore, will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. So it's enmity there. Look, it says, know ye not that the friendship of the world is the enemy of God? Whoso therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. So it's enmity that causes that of the world. When we embrace the world, it causes that betrayal. So I looked up the word enmity. And let me give you its meaning in verse 4. One who feels hatred towards, or intends to injure, or opposes the interests of another. So when we are friends with the world, when we do the things that the world wants us to do, and we join in with the things of the world, we are opposing the interests of our God. We become His foe. That's another word that's used here for the word enmity. The second definition that I found, a hostile power or force. A hostile power or force. The world is a hostile power or force against God. And so when we follow the world and we allow ourselves to be drawn into the behavior that we learn from the world, God says for us, we become a hostile force or power against Him. We become enmity towards God. Here's the third definition I found. A group of foes or hostile forces. So that kind of puts both of those together then, doesn't it? Those two above. So, its use is as a collective noun. When that means it's more than one, it means a group. So when we become friends of the world, and it's easy for a Christian to forsake, which we know that which is right, to join hands, which we know that's comfortable for our flesh. Our flesh is comfortable with the world. Let's just be honest. It's much easier to just not fight than to fight. It's much easier not to stand than to stand. However, in so doing, those of our loved ones who don't know Christ as Savior, who do not have heaven as their home, may never hear the gospel message because they don't even know that what we believe is right or true. Because we have turned our back on God and His ways and joined in with theirs. I was with a group of Christians today, or men that called themselves Christians. And after a little while, I looked up at one guy and said, "Do you kiss your wife with that mouth? Or do you just drink from the sewer with that mouth? Because all the sewage that's coming out of it sure sounds like I wouldn't want to kiss my wife with that kind of toilet mouth." And he looked at me and he said, "Man, I didn't even think about how I was sounding." And a young lady was standing there and said, "You know, since I've been around you guys, come around you," she said, "I don't swear nearly as much because I say to myself, do I use that many stupid words in order to have a conversation with somebody that don't need to be said? That have no value and they're more offensive than they are anything else?" And so the men were just shocked. And I said, "You know, you call yourself a Christian. You say you're Christians. You say you believe in Christ. How come your verbiage doesn't show that?" And I'll tell you why. Because it's so much easier just to jump in with a crowd that uses all sorts of swear words than it is just to talk normal or natural.
just to talk real. Real speech isn't full of swearing. That's worldly talk. And those are words that don't need to be said. We don't need to use a bunch of expletives that have no value in our conversation. It's wasted time, energy, and effort. And we're not making anybody a better person. I looked at one man later on. He's a young man. He's about 29 years old, and I said to him, and he didn't do almost any swearing, if any at all. And I said, have you noticed that the young generation seems to have no respect for other people in their speech? He said, yeah, and I don't notice that they swear an awful lot too. I said, were you raised that way? He said, no. He said, but I know this, I'm not a Christian, but I get caught up in conversations like that even when Christians are around me who are talking that way. And I said, isn't that a shame? He said, you're the oddest thing, you're a real Christian. I said, what do you mean by that? He said, because I don't know any other Christian that would have said anything. They just would have gone along with it. And I'm not trying to get any glory or pat on the back for myself. I'm just saying that, you know, when we have something that's worthwhile, we ought to stand for that which is worthwhile. We ought to defend that which is worthwhile. We ought to live for that which is worthwhile. So let us get to know then the basis of the victory and how to apply it, as we see here in chapter 4 of the book of James. Look in verse number 5. Do you think that the Scripture saith in vain that the Spirit that dwells in us lusts to envy? So the very Spirit that's in you and I, notice it's a small s. It's talking about our personal spirit. Do you think that the Scripture saith in vain that this is the typical behavior of the Spirit? The Spirit that's in man lusts to envy. That is what it does. The reason that it's a question mark is because it's asking us if we believe, do we not believe what it says in the other part of the Bible where it says that? Yeah, I believe that. And the Bible tells us that's our nature, the fallen nature that's a part of the world and the flesh and the devil. That's what we used to have. It lusts after everything, it envies everything, it hates everything. There just doesn't seem to be any happiness or nobody's satisfied with anything. That's what that's all referring to. Verse 6, but He, that meaning God, gives more grace. Grace is something we don't deserve, unmerited favor. Wherefore He saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Remember, the word humble means those that are fully depending on God. I can't do this myself. I don't have the power to do this. I can't overcome the world. I can't overcome the flesh. I can't overcome the devil. So I'm going to ask God to do it on my behalf. I'm going to go to Him. I'm surrendering. I can't do it. I'm going to give it to Him. And that's what humble is. So I've got to learn, number one, as I'm going into battle, I need to realize I must surrender this to God. That should be point number one. If you're going to write anything notes down, this should be point number one. Realize you must give everything to God as I'm going to defend myself. As I'm going to go pick up my weaponry. That's why our first piece of weaponry is truth. Our loins girded about in truth. Remember, the loins is a sexual reproduction part of man, the part that commits adultery. So, God's talking about spiritual things here, talking about spiritual adultery. He's telling us to put on truth, so we need to humble ourselves and realize that my truth, I can't do it. So I'm going to go to Him and humble myself. Notice the opposite of humility is proud. All pride means is that we think I can handle it. I got this. Don't worry, God, I can handle this. Well, when we think we can handle it is when we can't. So that ought to be another flag that pops up and says, oh, I think I can do this. That should be a big indication to you and I that now we just really need to suddenly stop and realize I have to give this to God. I can't overcome this on my own. I must let Him accomplish the task through me, not me accomplish the task through Him. Boy, and that's a big statement right there. Let me say that again. That I must let Him accomplish the task through me, that I'm not asking Him to accomplish the task. I'm not asking Him to accomplish the task. I said it wrong. But I don't want to do it with Him's blessing. I need Him to do it, period.
So I need to accomplish the task by not doing anything but giving it to Him. That's the only way I can accomplish it. So if I try to accomplish it, I'm going to fail. Because that's pride. And pride is just not depending on God, but depending on ourselves. And that's exactly what the world and the flesh and the devil would be. Pride is not to think, I did a good job. That's not pride. That's what the world wants us to think pride is. But pride is thinking I can do this on my own. And so number one, the very first thing we need to realize is that I can't do any of this by myself. I can't do any of this stuff myself at all. Whether by myself or asking the Lord to help me, I must just give it to Him. So I got to turn it over to Him and humble myself. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Submit means to allow Him to take the rulership of. So now I become His servant rather than His ruler, and I allow Him to rule and make all the decisions, not me. And what will happen is I'll resist the devil, and when I resist the devil, he has to flee. So God's giving us a spiritual law here. When I resist the devil by doing what? Humbling myself to God, submitting myself to God, putting myself underneath Him and letting Him take the leadership. That's resisting Satan, resisting the devil. And he has to stop. So immediately, by applying this, God is giving me the ability to have a victory immediately. And what did I just do? I just started using the weaponry. What was the weaponry I used? The first weaponry I used then was truth. What is the truth? Depending on God. I've also used another weapon He gave us, which is humility. And we learned that humility is another one of the weapons. And I didn't give the weapons in the order in which we should use them. I gave them the weapons in the order that we have found them in scriptures in different places. But the first weapon that I use, and the most powerful weapon I can use when I immediately go into the battle, is humility. Depending on God. And avoiding pride. Father, I thank You for what we've learned today. This is the beginning of accomplishing a great thing in our lives. It's not normal for us to give something away to somebody else to take care of in our own life. We want to help. We want to have victory. We want to do our best to give us the victory. We want to work hard to get to this place where things are supposed to be in our life. And so we often take the initiative. We often take the leadership. We often go to the forefront of the battle and say, I can handle this. But Lord, what we've learned tonight immediately is that we can't. And it's not our nature to. So we're immediately going against the nature that we've been raised in, now to the new nature that You've given to us. For old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And now we come to You and we submit to You. And we ask You to take us through this. And on the other side, as You lead us through this, as You take us through this, as You give us the victory, comes the victory, and not us trying to earn it ourselves. So Father, help us to yield to You, submit to You as we go through this week. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.